I thank you for the energy that I am feeling, God, the energy I woke up with at 5:30 this morning, ready to go. God, I thank you for the people that you are continuously sending here, the people that you've connected us with outside of here, God, our neighbors and our friends and the new friends I've made up at the camp, God, and just all the different stuff that's going on. I thank you for this word that I feel like you gave me last Sunday while Pastor Paul was preaching. I pray that you would guide my words. You would continue to lead our church in the direction you have it to go, God. Not my direction, not Pastor Paul's direction, not the board's direction, but your direction, God. And I pray all of us as leaders would just be on board with whatever you want to do. God, I pray that you be glorified this morning in everything. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you open your bulletins up, there's a little section there that says scripture readings for the week. We got to get rid of the junior hires, huh? Junior hires, I love you. Get on out of here. Junior hires, have a good time. We will see you later. See you after church. And if anybody happened to find a glass of water in the back and could bring it up, I would really appreciate that. I got crazy cotton mouth this morning. In there, the scriptures for the week. Every week, Lyndon Malky puts those together for us, and it's just readings that associate with the sermon or sermon series we're going with. And this last week, Lyndon asked me, she said, Chris, are there any verses that really speak to you? And so what those are verses that have just been, some of them are verses from this morning that I'm going to be sharing through. Some of them are verses that have just been kind of life verses for me. I just encourage you over the course of this next week to be reading through those, using those as one of your devotional tools. And I just really appreciate Lyndon. She works hard to put these together every week. I think that list did get cut off. And so it's on our Facebook page, and there is a list in the back on the little devotional sheets that Lyndon puts together. And so feel free to grab one of those. So last week, you guys were in church. If you were here, you heard Pastor Paul, or let me say you saw Pastor Paul close his computer. And when Pastor Paul closed his computer, all of us that have been here, Ricky, you are fantastic. Thank you, ma'am. All of you that saw him close his computer knew what that meant. He was going off notes. And he was supposed to be preaching on Obadiah last week. And he went, Obadiah, we're going to put on hold. I need to share a little bit of the history and vision of North Point. And so he shared a little bit of the history. And I don't have time to go into all of it this morning. If you weren't here, sorry, don't miss church. It was awesome. And so he went through all of this. And I'm sitting in the back in the tech booth because I was helping in the tech booth. And I'm sitting there going, I'm supposed to preach on Jonah next week. And I know next week they're voting on me as lead pastor. There's no way I can get up and just preach on Jonah. And God began to give me some scriptures. And some of these are scriptures that Pastor Paul and I have talked about for quite a while now. Some of these are passages we've talked about over and over and over again. But there was one specific scripture, and we're going to be in 1 Chronicles 28 for most of the morning this morning. 1 Chronicles 28, there's some specific passages in there that really came to mind. And as Pastor Paul shared last week, we at this church, we have a rough history. We've got a lot of history. There's been some good times, absolutely. God has done some amazing stuff, but we've also gone through some hard times, an arson fire, bankrupt insurance company, a closed school, headlines in the newspaper that were not all positive. And so as he shared that, some of these thoughts begin to come up in me. So I wanted to share this morning just my heart. I want to share a little bit where God has brought me, a little bit where I feel like God is taking me, and should you call me as your lead pastor, where I feel like God is leading us as a church. So if you've got your Bibles, open up to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and we're going to start in verse 1. It says, David assembled at Jerusalem all the officials of Israel, the officials of the tribes, the officers of the divisions that served the king, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, the stewards of all the property and the livestock of the king, and his sons, together with the palace officials, the mighty men and all the seasoned warriors. That's a really long way of saying he got everybody. Everybody came together. He got everybody together and said, I have something important I want to tell you. I need everybody, from the lowliest of servants to the highest of kings. I need everybody together. Come and join me. I've got something you need to hear. And in verse 2, we pick up. It says, King David rose to his feet and said, hear me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God. I made preparations for building. But God said to me, you may not build a house for my name, for you are a man of war, and have shed blood. Yet the Lord God of Israel chose me from all of my father's house to be king over Israel forever. He chose Judah as leader, and in the house of Judah, my father's house, and among my father's sons, he took pleasure in me to make me king over all of Israel. And of all my sons, he has chosen Solomon, my son, to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. He said to me, it is Solomon, your son, who shall build my house and my courts. For I've chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever if he continues strong in keeping my commandments and my rules as he is today. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord and the hearing of our God, observe and seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this land and leave it for an inheritance to your children after you forever. Amen. As I sat and read through that, and let me give you a little bit about David. If you don't know too much about David, David was one of the kings over Israel. And when David was a little boy, he was a shepherd. And the prophet came to David's father and he said, get all your sons together. And so he gathered all of his sons. And the prophet went down the line to all the sons and looked at all the sons and waited for God to say, this is going to be the next king. And he gets to the end of the line and he looks at dad and he says, this can't be all of them. What do you mean it can't be all of them? He said, it's not one of these. And God told me that one of your sons is going to be king. And he says, well, there is one more. There's David, but you don't want David. David, he's a shepherd. He's out in the fields. He's the little one. He's the runt of the family. You don't want him. And the prophet said, go get him. I want him. And so they brought David before the prophet. And the prophet said, this is the man that God has ordained to be king over this nation. And he anointed him with oil. And then we see the process of David going and slaying Goliath. And we see David serving in the house of Saul and going through that. And then we see David in the wilderness running from Saul and working with the Philistines. And David went through some rough times. And he was a soldier at heart, said that Saul had killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. And when the time came that David became king over Israel, the nation was at war. The nation was struggling. They were fighting. They had enemies on all sides. And so God raised up a warrior with a heart for him to make a difference for his nation. And God raised up David, and David was a man of war. He was a fighter. And he fought and he fought and he fought. And he had a tender heart because he wrote the Psalms. We see that. We see where David wrote that all these different amazing poems and songs to God. But there was still that warrior nature that was in him. If you posed him with a situation of either fight or flight, I guarantee he was going to fight most of the time. And so we see David raised up into this position, and now he's become an older man. And he looks at God and says, God, I want to build your temple. I want to build this amazing temple. I know we've come to a time of peace. I see that things have changed a little bit. It's time to put down the sword, and it's time to pick up the hammer. And let's build a temple for you. And so he went before God and he said, God, I want to do this. And he made preparations and he set the foundation and he set the structures and he had it getting ready to go. And God came to him and said, David, hold on a second. David, it's not for you to do this. David, you're a man of war. And you have blood on your hands. And I can't imagine what David felt as he went through this. Knowing all that he had done to serve God, knowing all that he had done to walk this journey, and he had done all these things, and he had fought all these fights, and he had shed the tears, and he had struggled through all of it. And now he says, God, we're at a time of peace, and it's a time of unity. And all I want to do now, all I want to do is build your house. I want to build your kingdom. And God said, hold on, I got another plan. Takes us to our first point in your bulletin. You can just write these down, follow along with me. Sometimes the only way to peace is through war. See, when God looked at David and said, you are a man of war and you have shed blood, that wasn't a criticism. In most cases, the blood that had been shed was he was sent by God to go shed that blood. He was sent to go and shed the blood. It wasn't, I mean, there was Uriah. That was a whole bad story. You can read on that one. He shouldn't have done that. And we've all made mistakes. We've all done that. We've all sinned and gone against God. And he paid for it. And he paid for it dearly, but he had to repent and turn back to God. But most of the wars he fought were on the behalf of God. And sometimes in order to get to this place of peace, We have to go through those wars. 21 years ago, Pastor Paul came to this church. God raised him up to bring him here. I remember sitting in the living room in New Jersey having the conversation. I remember showing up here the very first day as the 15-year-old little pastor's kid coming to see what this church in California was all about. And there was no doubt in our hearts and our minds that God had called Pastor Paul to this place. And this place, though it looked good on the outside, it was not a place of unity. It was not a place of joy and purpose in the kingdom. There was some infighting. There was some arguing. The enemy was attacking from all sides. The enemy was trying to tear this place apart. And God looked at this church and he said, this church doesn't need a peacemaker. This church needs a warrior. And there's a reason that God sent a Green Beret cop to Calvary Baptist Church of San Bernardino. And over the last 21 years, he's had those fights. He's fought those battles. He stood in his office. His people told him, I have outlived the other pastors. I'm outlive you too. And 21 years later, he's still here serving God faithfully. He has fought those fights. And I hate war. War is a terrible thing. I would rather avoid conflict if we can. But sometimes in order to get to a place of peace, sometimes in order to get to a place of unity, you've got to go through those processes. Because either you lay down and you give up what you believe, or you stand up and you fight. My dad is not one that's going to lay down and give up what he believes. And as much as I tend to be more of a man of peace, he's raised me the same way. You're going to stand up and fight for what we believe. And so we go, this church has gone through the times of war and the fighting. And I'm not saying there's not hard times ahead of us, because I'll tell you, the enemy is always trying to attack. The enemy is always trying to destroy what God is doing. I know of marriages and families in this church that are struggling, and I think it's Satan's attack on them. I know people that have just issues going on at work, and I think it's Satan's attack on them. And we need to be praying for each other and praying for our leaders and praying for our families here in this church, because we are always at war. But I do believe at North Point right now, God has brought us into a time of unity. And we can probably begin to pick up some hammers and not just have to be on the defensive with our swords all the time. But we get to do some building of the church. Number two, great plans are worthless if they are not God plans. Proverbs 19:21 says this, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. I've had plans. I've had a lot of plans. When I was in high school, my plan was I was going to graduate high school and I was going to become a professional golfer. Problem was, I'm terrible at golf. I maybe could have been a caddy. Maybe. We have plans and we set these plans out. And once I realized I wasn't really good at golf, I thought I'm going to be an engineer. And that's what God has for me. I'm going to be an engineer. I loved drafting class. We did drafting class, and I can't freehand draw anything. But man, you give me a template, or you give me some angles, and I can do it. We can make it happen, and we can draw some cool stuff. That's where I'm going to be. And I'm sure God sat in heaven, and he kind of chuckled a little bit. Sure you are. Pastor Paul had a plan in the same way that David had a plan. David said, God, I want to build your house. I want to build a place of rest for your ark. I want to build this place of peace in this community. And I've been walking this journey with my dad for 9 years now. For 9 years, we've worked to bring this church to this place, and he's worked to bring this church to this place, and we're finally back here on this campus. We were sent into the desert. We were sent into the wilderness where we had to set up church every day and tear down church every day, and we were exhausted, and people were worn out. And there was literally a time in this church where people were coming into the service, and I had people ask the question, when do we close our doors? When are we done? And our answer was continuous: when God says we're done. And until then, we're going to be faithful. And we're going to keep teaching the word, and we're going to keep reaching people, and we're going to keep leading people to Christ, and we're going to keep baptizing people. As long as God will leave us here, we're here. And we fought through the wilderness, and God brought us back onto this property. He brought us back into this community where many of you have had the opportunity to come in and wander in here. You'd never even found us up at the Elks Lodge. We had guest worship leaders show up and call me from the parking lot. Chris, where are you at? You sure you're in that building? Yeah, that's us. Come on in. God has taken us through that process of wilderness and brought us back here. And I know in Pastor Paul's mind, there's been this sense of now we can do it. The battles have been fought. The wars are over. We're in a place of unity. And now, God, I want to build your church. And he's given me all the freedom to say this. And I think in a lot of ways, God has looked at him and said, you're a man of war. And you have blood on your hands. Now, let me say, Pastor Paul's never killed anybody here. But he did help with the construction. He might have shed a little blood from that. You're a man of war. And so we see this Proverbs 19:21, many of the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And that brings me to number three. God calls men for a season. No doubt in my mind that Pastor Paul called, or that God called Pastor Paul here. No doubt in my mind that God called me here. I was pastoring in Montclair. I was the youth pastor in Montclair. Started there when I was 19 years old. Had a chance to stay there for 7 years, worked under Pastor Mark, and man, he was an amazing pastor. Taught me so much about just the heart of people and loving people and encouraging people. And I served with him, and I remember going to him at one point, and he was headed towards retirement. We all knew it was coming. He had told us it was coming. And I told him, I said, Pastor Mark, I said, I'd like to talk to you about my future here. He said, what are you thinking? I said, when you resign, I said, I'd like to be lead pastor here. And that was really what was on my heart. And yet, through Pastor Mark and the board, I began to see that wasn't the right place or the right time for me. And now with hindsight being 2020, I look back and I go, wow, that would have been terrible. I am so glad that God put godly men and women in my life and inside my wife's life to go, no, this isn't the right church or the right place or the right time for you. Because they said no, because that door was closed not too long later, I end up leaving there feeling like my time had ended and I decided to go do magic. What? Yeah, I went from being a pastor to a magician. I did. I learned some magic doing junior high ministry to entertain the kids. And I had a mentor named Danny Ray who travels the world and is probably one of the premier magicians, Christian magician probably in the world. And he is just amazing. He took me under his wing. He began to teach me. And he said, Chris, how would you think about performing? You're getting better. I said, I'd be open to it. What are you thinking? He said, well, there's a show in San Diego for about 450 people I can't make it to. I said, you said 45 people, right? I said, no, 450 people. I said, okay, well, what kind of people are these? He said, they're rough kids from the inner city. I said, so you're telling me I've never done magic for more than a group of 10 people, and you want me to get up and do a 45-minute to an hour show for 450 rough kids from the inner city? He said, yep, that's it. So if you wonder where my gift of throwing people into the deep end of the pool comes from, Danny may have had a part of that. So I did that and I traveled and I loved it and I got to do magic and perform and every once in a while, if you catch me at the right moment, I have a deck of cards in my hand. I can blow your mind with a deck of cards. But I did this for a while and I was sitting in the office here because I was renting an office at the church. Just I needed a place to work out of that wasn't home. And I remember my dad coming in and the board had been talking. He said, if we were to offer you a job here, what would you think? I said, I'm good as long as I don't have to do youth ministry. So they hired me on and put me in charge of youth ministry. and I did the youth ministry thing for a while until I killed it, and now Josh is running it, praise Jesus. And now I've been here almost 9 years. And God has taken us through this process, and he takes us to places for a time, and he takes us to places for a season. The San Bernardino is the longest place I've ever lived because we tended to move quite a bit. Pastor Paul's been here 21 years, and the season that God has brought him in has been an ordained season. There's no doubt in my mind that God brought him here for this specific time, and there's no doubt in my mind that it is now time for him to continue to chase Jumpstart. I've had some conversations with him the last couple of weeks where he calls me like a kid in a candy store. I got to tell you what just happened. You're not going to believe this conversation I just happened with this pastor. You're not going to believe this conversation just happened with this person. And he's so excited and so passionate about it. And God is going to bless it. And he just got done doing this conference in Mesa, Arizona and had a chance to talk to, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 pastors that are interested in talking to him about what's going on and took copies of the books. And this last weekend, we were at the Group Life Conference and Josh and Amber and I and my mom and Lyndon went. And by the end of the weekend, we were all kind of joking and said the rest of us don't really get to talk at all. He's so excited about Jumpstart, that's just the whole conversation the whole time. And I love seeing him in that place. I love seeing him excited about what God is doing there in that place. When Pastor Paul came 21 years ago, 1995, he stood on this stage, well, pre-burned up stage, and he preached Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Ephesians 4 says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. I want to say, you have done exactly what you came here to do. Amen. Taking a church that was infighting and struggling to a church that is outward looking and serving Jesus. Let me say, there was good people here. There's still people here that were here when that stuff was going on. But sometimes the loudest person, most obnoxious person gets the microphone and they set the tone for everything. But God has done exactly what he called him here to do. And now God is taking you and he's sending you out to the churches to do what you've done here, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And that's the next journey God has for you. And for you as the church, I want you to know that God has equipped you to be apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. In the body of Christ, there are no consumers. We are all in this together, and God has gifted you, and it is your responsibility to figure out what that gifting is. And if you don't know what that gifting is, go to Ron Lee's gifts class and let him begin to walk you through what God is doing in you. And if you go, Chris, I don't even know what those words mean, I'm gonna break it down millennial style for you. So my buddy Nathan Neighbor put this together and I'm like, this is fantastic. So for apostles are spiritual entrepreneurs. You wanna know where my gifts fit in this list? Apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, spiritual entrepreneur, apostle, that's me. Let's look for something that looks impossible, jump in with both feet and see if we can make it happen. Did it 5 years ago when I started the company I do it when I go rock climbing. It's part of my life. I wanna do something new. I wanna start things new. And I'll tell you, there's some danger to that. If you do call me as your pastor, just know I will start things and I will fail at them every once in a while. Because sometimes I'm gonna bite off more than I can chew. Dougie and I went rock climbing one day. I'd never climbed a 5'10", which is a level of rock climbing. I said, I wanna do that one. He said, that one? I said, yeah, that one. He said, it's a 5'10", it's 100 feet, bottom to top. Let's do this. Poor Dougie had to sit and hang on the rope for 2 hours while I tried to make it to the top of this thing. I still haven't done it yet. But you know what? Now that I'm getting stronger, my arm's getting stronger, back. I'm gonna make him come with me. Spiritual entrepreneurs. The second one is spiritual activists. These are those prophets. These are people that can just speak God's word into your life. Those people that you talk to, and every time you get done talking to them, you're like, I feel like God just spoke directly to me. These are the people that have a heart for reaching out to the least and the last and the lost and speaking God's word into their life. The spiritual activists. The third one is the evangelists. These are our spiritual guides. These are the people that point us towards Jesus. Now, I think we all have some of this responsibility. I can't just look and go, well, I'm a spiritual entrepreneur, so I don't have to tell anybody about Jesus. It doesn't work that way. There's just some of us that are more gifted in certain areas than others. In fact, I was at the grocery store a couple of weeks ago, and this real sweet lady was in the poultry aisle with me. We were looking at chicken, and somehow or another we started talking. That happens to me a lot. And we just started this conversation, and all of a sudden she looks at me and she goes, now young man, she's an older lady, says, young man, I need to know if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I started to answer, but she didn't even give me time. And so she went into her whole thing and she's talking to me about Jesus, and this is what God has done in my life, and this is how amazing God is, and you need to get your life right. You need to stop doing those things you're doing. You need to get your life right. You need to follow Jesus. And finally, about 7 minutes in, she goes, so are you ready to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I said, well, ma'am, I did that when I was 3. I said, I'm a pastor here in San Bernardino, but you keep it up. You just keep doing what you're doing. It's a spiritual guide, somebody that's gonna point you straight to Jesus. Pastors. Now this word's a little strange because we don't use this word the same way now as they did in the scriptures. This word could literally be translated as shepherd, and a lot of translations still say shepherd. Some of it is translated to pastor. My millennial word for this is guardians. These are the protectors. Ron Lee is a pastor. He's a guardian, he's a shepherd. You guys have met him and talked with him, and you look into his eyes and there's genuineness and purity of heart, and he just cares about you and he loves you and he wants to just help you and connect you into the church here. That's pastors. And some of you guys, God has equipped you that way. You just see people and you wanna protect them. Maybe it's kids and you see kids and you're just like, I wanna protect them. And so those are our guardians. And the last one is our teachers. And these are our gurus. Lyndon Malke is one of my gurus. Lyndon Malke just knows the Bible inside and out. You got a question, just skip me, go straight to her. Lyndon Malke was my Sunday school teacher when I was here at this church. Frank Zumo, where are you at? Frank Zumo was my worship leader when I was in the youth group here at these churches. People have been doing this a long time. They're people that have taught me things. They're some of my gurus. People I go to when I need prayer or I need wisdom. Dodeval is a guru. He's teaching a panorama of the New Testament class right now. Come 6 o'clock on Thursday nights, hang out with them in the back conference room here, and you will learn so much amazing things about the New Testament that you've never seen before. And so I just encourage you as believers, you as Christians, whether I'm lead pastor or you call another lead pastor, it's not up to me. I'm just here to help equip you, and you guys are the ones called to do the work of the ministry. And so it's not just, oh, look, we've got an expert, and he's gonna handle it. Oh, look, we've got a property team, they're gonna take care of the property. Oh, look, we've got a youth ministry, they're gonna take care of the youth ministry. No, we need people to step up in our kids ministry, in our youth ministry, in our property teams, in our tech ministry, in our Sunday morning ministry. If God has equipped you to teach, maybe you should be up here and give me a break once in a while. You come up and share what God has laid on your heart. So that brings me to number 4. We need to carry the torch. For 21 years, Pastor Paul has carried the torch through rain and wind and even some snow here in San Bernardino. And he is now handing it, and he's not necessarily handing it to me, he's handing it to you. And it is your decision where we go. It's your decision what our next steps are. It's your decision what God has for this church. And so it's time that we pass the torch. Psalm 71:18 says, so even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. And this is David again. Do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. And I heard Pastor Paul preach that 15, 18, 20 years ago. At that time, he was talking to the older people in the room. And now it applies to him. And he's living it, and he's passing it on. Because there's a little gray in there, but I've got gray too. And so it's time that we pass that torch. And so whether you are 15, 25, 50, 75, you need to be looking at that next generation and passing that torch down. How are you preparing the next generation for this church? How are you preparing the next generation for what God wants to do here? Maybe that means you need to be in teaching in our kids ministry. Maybe it means you need to be in working with our junior hires and high schoolers. Met with a family this week. We had a fantastic dinner together and just loved on each other, fellowshiped, had a great time. It was awesome. And one of the things they said is we want to start a high school girls small group. So praise God. I love it when people come to me and say, I have a solution. I get a lot of problems. Because I have a solution. I want to help fix this. I want to help be part of the solution to this. So that brings me to number 5. Number 5 is my promise to you. I've read this passage in 1 Chronicles 28 many times, and Pastor Paul and I have talked about it many times over the last couple of years, of this idea of the war, and there's still people that have a hard time with him sometimes because of the past that has happened, and we've talked about that, but I'm not sure I've ever read past it, at least not in thinking in this context. And so we see this whole thing where David says, I can't do this. God has not released me to do this because I'm a man of war and I have blood on my hands. But there's a next step to this, and this is David's charge to Solomon. This is what David challenges Solomon in these last couple of verses. In verse 8 and 9, we see David say that God has chosen Solomon as his own son. Many years ago, God chose me as his own son. Though I'm my father's son, I am God's son first and foremost. And he's chosen me as his son, and so I believe this is God's challenge to me, and in turn, this is my promise to you. It says 1 Chronicles in 28, verse 9. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father, and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Be careful now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And so I would say, and you can write this in your stuff, I will seek God and I will serve God with my body, mind, and soul. I sent this sermon out to the board before I preached it. I wanted to make sure they were okay with what I was getting ready to say and what I've been saying. And one of them told me, they said, wow, this is bold. I said, I know, but I feel like God has laid these words on my heart. But I want to say, ultimately, you as the church are the ones that decide God's direction for this church. Hopefully, God is going to help you do that. And you are sensitive to what God is doing. But I am sharing with you in this, trusting that God is going to move us forward to this call. I will seek God and I will serve God with my body, mind, and soul. If you know enough about Scripture, you know that Solomon, he's a smart guy, but he missed the boat. And he did okay for a little while, but he just got too full of himself and he began to stumble and he began to fall and he began to walk away from God and he started to think he had it figured out and he stopped seeking God and he stopped serving God with his body, mind, and soul. And it didn't go well for him. And I want to learn from his mistakes. I want you as the congregation of this church to be able to hold me accountable. As pastors, we are never higher or raised above anything else. At the foot of the cross, the ground is level. We are all just there to serve God. So I want you to know, man, at the end of a service, doesn't matter what service it is, you can come up to me, Chris, I just don't agree with this. Chris, can you tell me where this came from? Can you tell me what scripture you got this verse from? And the truth is I've had it happen a few times and I love it because it tells me you're paying attention. Like, Chris, you said these words. I'm like, wow, I didn't even remember saying those words. That's awesome. Let's talk about that. But I want to be able to submit to you as the congregation. 19 years ago, I preached my very first sermon. I preached my very first sermon here in this room at this part of the building. It was on this stage pre-fire. I preached my very first sermon. I was scared to death. Most people don't even know. About 10 minutes before service, I was back in that bathroom throwing up. Scared to death. I threw up probably the first 8 or 10 times I preached in big church. I was in high school at the time. I was 17 years old. And our youth pastor, Jim Woolard, who's had a huge impact on my life, said, Chris, I want you and our leadership team to preach. I want you and our leadership team to come and share the message. And he said, I'm going to pick the passage. I'm going to divide it up and you guys do it. And I said, okay, Jim, I'm scared to death, but I'll do this. The passage he gave us was this, 1 Timothy 4:12. He said, do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Now, I know for some of you, you look at me and go, Chris, you're not that young. On the other hand, some of you look at me and go, Chris, you're still a little kid. And so I would say it doesn't matter how old I am. It doesn't matter what place in my life that I'm at. This verse has been one of those defining verses for me in my heart, in my life, in my marriage, in my ministry, in my business, that I desire to set an example for all believers, whether they're young or they're old, whether they're younger than I am, whether they're older than I am, whether they've been Christians for 3 months or they've been Christians for 40 or 50 or 60 years. My desire is to set an example in speech, in life, in love, and faith, and in purity. And that's part of this, the way God has wired me and what God has wired into me. And that's my desire to bring that here with you. It brings us to our last one, number 6, and we're going to wrap up with this. God wants to transform people through you. God wants to do a work of transformation through this church. We've gone through this period of time of war, and we've gone into the wilderness, and we've come back to our promised land, and we are here, and we are united, and we are gathered together, just like the disciples in the upper room, in one accord, united under God, and now it's time for us to go out. Now it's time for us to go start a movement, to start a mission, to change this city. And it's going to start with you. It's going to start in your own head. Romans 12:2 says this. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect will. Let's renew our minds. Let's change our minds and let's stop being about what I want to be about. Let's stop being about what we want. Let's start being about what God wants us to be about. We are gathered together in unity. We are gathered together in one accord. And God wants to begin to transform minds, and he wants to begin to transform hearts, and he wants to begin to transform marriages, and he wants to begin to transform jobs, and he wants to begin to transform this neighborhood, and he wants to transform this city, and he wants to transform this state, he wants to transform this country, he wants to transform this world. And it all started with 120 in the upper room meeting in one accord. We can do this. God wants to transform people through us. See, this church thing isn't just about me. It's not about you. It's not about what I can get out of it. It's not about what you can get out of it. It's about what I can take to others. It's about what I can take to serve my neighbor. It's what I can learn here to help the guy that I work with. It's what I can learn here to help raise my children better. God wants to transform people through you guys. So let's together continue to carry the torch. I trust and I pray that God is guiding you. I want to tell you about our ministry board real quick. I'm going to close up. These are some of the most amazing godly people I've ever spent time with. They have wrestled and struggled through some of the hardest decisions we've ever had to make. Some of our past board members, I remember sitting in the little room over there, the little classroom, when we made the decision to put the building up for rent and move to the Elks Lodge. Decisions most people didn't have to make, just the 8 of them in the room. Over the last year, we've been talking about our church and the finances and the direction, and we've been wrestling with what is God's next step for us. And I know for a lot of you guys, you look at this and go, wow, this has just happened so quick. For the board, this has been a conversation we've been wrestling with and having for a long time now. We've been praying and gathering and talking. We spent a half a day up at Thousand Pines praying and meeting and talking. And then when Pastor Paul's resignation came, it expedited the processes that we'd been talking about and working on. And so I want you to know that your ministry board that you have elected has been praying and thinking and trusting God in this. As pastors, we've been meeting and praying and thinking and trusting God in this. And I feel like the vision that God has for us, the direction he has for us, is clear. But ultimately, the decision is yours. And I trust that you've been praying and asking God what the next step is for us. But if you do call me as your lead pastor, I promise you, I will seek God with everything I have. I will serve God with everything I have, with my body, my mind, and soul. I will set an example in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. I love you guys. I love this church, and God has amazing stuff for us, whether it's with me or with another pastor. I know God's doing something. And so let me pray for us and invite the worship team up. God, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for the word. I feel like you gave me back in the back of the sanctuary last week. I thank you for my dad and his example. 21 years of commitment to this church, God. There's so many other pastors that told him I'd have quit a long time ago. God, he has brought us through the wars and the struggles and the fights, brought us to a place of unity and peace. And God, I pray that we can pick up that torch and we can follow you and serve you and use the gifts that you've given us to transform this community and our friends and our oikoses, God, that you would transform the minds of everybody we deal with. God, we would no longer be conformed to the world. And God, as we stand to worship together, I pray you be glorified with our voices and with our hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.